Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question-and-answer session, please press star then one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect. And I'd like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Ovies Robson. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Good morning. I am Ovies Robson, and I am a developer for Mainframe Networks. I will be talking to you about what we did for Mainframe Networks in the version 4.2.0 release. What I'd like to do today is take you through an introduction that gives you a quick overview of the product, gives you the highlights of the features for the 4.2.0 release, and provides you information on its availability and prereqs or dependencies. I'll then go into more detail about the new features. That's what the next three sections are. Lastly, I'll cover some interim features that were for the 4.1.0 release but are now packaged with the 4.2.0 release. So I'll start with the introduction. So Mainframe Networks is one of several products that Tivoli provides to our customers to do management of TCP/IP networks on the mainframe. I'm on slide three. I apologize. I forgot that that you can't see my screen. So on slide three, the slide shows NetView at the top. NetView focuses primarily on operations, availability, and automation. It allows you to have a centralized place from where you can control network components on the mainframe, as well as do system management on different LPARs and automation. Below that, you see OmegaMon XE for mainframe networks, and it primarily performs performance management. It pulls things on the mainframe and gives you statistics like how many packets are being dropped or fragments, gives you a general idea of the health of what's going on with TCP/IP on your mainframe. It doesn't provide session information like inactive session information is information that's available in NetView. So at the bottom you see different types of TCP/IP and SNA. Both NetView and Mainframe Networks also provide you SNA network management. So we give you the ability to see what's going on with your OSAs, FTP, TN3270, and SNA. Also, I want to mention NPM over on the right side of the disk labeled Mainframe Networks. NPM Network Performance Manager is packaged with OmegaMon XE for Mainframe Networks, and that lets you manage things like NCP, if you still have those, the 3745s, or if you have CCL, you can do performance management of those with Network Performance Manager. So I haven't covered features. This is just kind of a positioning chart. Lets you see both NetView and Mainframe Networks contribute to your ability to manage TCP/IP components and SNA components on the mainframe. The next slide, I have this here. Mainframe Networks is a TEP application, so you get the customer gets all the benefits that you get with the TEP, common, easy to use, interface, easy for customers to alter and customize, integration of OmegaMon XC for mainframe networks with other OmegaMon applications via the navigation tree, and of course situations through thresholding the product. There's a lot of product provided situations that customers can decide to use to let them know when problems are occurring, and that's a key integration point to the Tivoli business management components. On the next slide, just shows all of the OmegaMon applications that are available through the TEP navigation tree. Many of these applications, including mainframe networks, have dynamic workspace links across each other between workspaces that make sense so that if a customer is troubleshooting a problem and they start looking at, say, Kix workspaces and they think it might be a TCP/IP problem, they can go from that workspace to a mainframe network workspace and look at more details related to TCP/IP, for example. And on slide 6, I'm on slide 6, sorry. I keep forgetting to mention the slide numbers. We have a picture of basically what mainframe networks does at a high level. On the box on the left, you see that's your ZOS system, and you have mainframe networks running there. And we monitor OSA cards and TCP/IP, UDP, basically the TCP/IP stack. We also manage storage utilization by the TCP/IP stack. And we give you, byte rates and failures related to applications as application use of TCP/IP and SNA protocol. So the line going across shows you the various kind of sessions or connections that you can have, and the silos show you the different cuts, ways that we let you see what's going on relative to those sessions. So you can see what's going on the host, and that can give you insight into failures that you might be having out in your network on servers or clients. Next slide, slide 7. So slide 7 gives you kind of a high-level list of what's new in the 4.2.0 release. We've added command support out of our workspaces for ping and drop, and we provided a new workspace where you can go and see results of those commands at a later time if you want to. We have tried to provide customers the ability to see the status of the mainframe networks agent itself, beginning to provide self-diagnosis for the monitoring agent itself. We added several attributes that customers had requested that were in our requirements database. We've improved integration with the event managers like Tech and NetCool Omnibus. And we've also provided out-of-the-box standardized reports based on Tivoli Common reporting. We made some changes in support of OmegaMon functions to improve time to value and cost of ownership. We've also tried to help customers find information faster by consolidating information in common books that apply to all the Omegamons, and just having the product books document product-specific information. And lastly, the 410 interim features provided the ability to manage IP security on the mainframe, and also to manage newer OSA adapters, OSA Express adapters, and we completed our IPv6 support in mainframe networks as part of those interim features, and those are rolled in with the 4.2.0 release. So to give you a little bit of, now I'm going to give you kind of a highlight of what these things are. So ping and drop command support, if you're looking at certain mainframe networks workspaces, you can right-click in a view, and you have the ability to now select drop and ping, and this will provide you an input window where you can provide information about how to do a drop or a ping. This can help customers troubleshoot. The command log gives the, this is a new workspace we added, and that gives customers, on the next slide, sorry, slide 9, gives customers the ability to go back from the navigation tree and see what commands have been issued from mainframe networks, and through the workspace they can select a particular command and see the responses that came back. And the next slide, slide 10, shows you a little bit more information about what the new agent status workspace. Basically, customers configure mainframe networks through the configuration tool through a 3270 interface on the host, and what we're providing is a workspace that they can access through the navigation tree where they can look at the status of the agent, and it, the customer can check what they've configured and what the current status of data collection is at the current point in time, so that if they've used any modified commands to alter any of the configuration since the agent has been running, they can also see those changes reflected there in that workspace. They can also look at critical configuration information when they're troubleshooting why things are not working correctly. They can check that workspace. Some of the attributes that were requested by the customers are listed on the next slide, slide 11. We now provide information for total backlog connections that have been rejected by a server. We provide the release of ZOS in the TCP/IP workspaces. It's not directly visible in the workspace, but you can navigate a little bit and see it. HPR, high-performance routing connections, we now provide smooth round-trip time. And CSM buffer pools, we provide some additional statistics, cumulative statistics, across the various CSM pools. Next slide, on slide 12. But it used to be that, actually, we never provided this on OPAL. In order to integrate with Tech and Omnibus, which are the event management portions of the Tivoli business management solution, customers needed some files, and we were sort of providing them if customers called in through our support channels. So now we're providing the needed files out of the box, and so we have improved the ability for customers to integrate with the Tivoli business management solutions. On the bottom of the slide, you see basically the PEP or IT operational dashboard where a system IT guy can be looking at what's going on, and problems can be forwarded to tech or omnibus, which can then integrate to a service desk, which can be integrated with business views, and problems can be resolved at the business or service view type level. On the next slide, slide 13, we now provide civilly common reporting, standardized reports, and templates out of the box. Again, we had some reports provided out through OPAL, and now they are being packaged with the product and are available when the customer gets the product. These reports help customers do planning and analysis. If they warehouse data, they can do trend analysis, and based on the reports can improve their ability to do long-term planning and figure out whether they need to add hardware or software to their environment. On the next slide, slide 14, these are we list some of the common OmegaMon functions. So the ISA or IBM Support Assistant is at a new level. This provides customers with key product information that they need in order to communicate effectively with our level 2 and level 3 interface, as well as help them collect the right information and provide some links to sources of information. It used to be that in order to sync up with the IPM platform, we had to do some static linking and provide PTFs, and that's no longer required. We converted things to dynamic link libraries, so this will reduce the number of PTFs customers will have to apply in the future. The HubTems no longer needs to be recycled when it's seeded for product-provided situations. It used to be that product-provided situations, some of them would automatically be started when you installed the product. That has been eliminated because that was causing customers to have additional configuration steps when they were deploying the product. So that's been eliminated. So now nothing gets auto-started, and customers go and select the situations that they're interested in and enable them when they're ready to enable them. The reusable ASIDs, it used to be that customers had to currently with what's out in the field, customers have to schedule IPLs in order to recover some address space identifiers after a while. So now with exploitation of reusable address space identifiers, customers will no longer have to do IPLs. The high availability hub TEMS provides customers with the ability, better reliability, less downtime. IPv6 is now supported by the infrastructure. The TEMS and the TEPs now can communicate via IPv6 if you have IPv6 in your network. Correlation and forwarding of events generated by situations. So this goes back to the files that are now provided so that events can be, when an agent detects an event, they can be forwarded out to Omnibus and text. We also had a considerable number of install and configuration enhancements to improve time to value. It used to be on slide 15, what that is talking about is it used to be that when you upgrade it from a previous level of the OmegaMons, you used to have to go and configure everything that you already had configured. And with changes in the OmegaMon platform itself and also coordinated changes in the products, you now don't have to go and reconfigure your runtime environments and re-specify all the configuration that you already had before. You're able to upgrade and pick and choose which ones of the new features you want to exploit in case some of those new features may require you to reconfigure certain components. You may choose to do the upgrade now to exploit some of the functions and then at a later time upgrade components at your leisure, if you will, as appropriate. So you don't have to do this huge configuration effort when doing an upgrade. On slide 16, it lists some of the specific configuration and install items that Mainframe Networks provided with the 4.2.0 release. We simplified the flow through the configuration panels for configuring Mainframe Networks itself. It used to be that we you had to know exactly which panel to go to change certain configuration things. And at the end, a job had to be generated. And so the jobs were being generated in different places. So we created a single place where the job needed to upgrade everything would be generated. So customers no longer have to bounce between configuration screens when they want to update something. We've provided panels to make it easy to copy information from an existing definition to a new one. We tried to make it easier to understand what the sample. We provide an SNMP configuration sample, and we synced up the configuration panel and the sample so that it's more clear that they're related to each other. That is a huge confusion point for our customers. You can now tell us if there are TCP/IP stacks that you don't want us to monitor. It used to be we would monitor all TCP/IP stacks on an LPAR by default. And now you can tell us if there are some that you don't want us to monitor. And OmegaMon 2 used to be a separate SMID. It is now packaged with OmegaMon XE for Mainframe Networks. The TEMs on ZOS can now reconnect to a TCP/IP stack. So if a TCP/IP stack is stopped and restarted, the TEMS is now able to reconnect to it. And we also in Mainframe Networks had to do a piece of work so that we could also reconnect and see that stack. So that improves the availability. On the next page, page 17, it gives some of the details of the address space reuse item. Basically, the point here is customers no longer have to re-IPL to recover address space. They won't run out of address space identifiers and won't need to re-IPL in order to reclaim them. Okay, the next slide, slide 18, lists all of the new common books that were created. So a lot of work in consolidating configuration and planning information. And there's a new book to describe the Tivoli Common Reports. And the slide also shows the URL for the books. And the next slide mentions the IP security monitoring in a little bit more detail, starting with ZOS 1.8. There were a couple PTFs that you could apply to ZOS 1.8 to get IP security function on the COM server. And if you do that, you can now with OmegaMon XE for mainframe networks be able to monitor filters and dynamic IP tunnels, manual IP tunnels. You also get a lot of high-level statistics that shows you the utilization of the tunnels and the filters and points out problems like when you're having a lot of retransmissions in the setup of a tunnel, or when a particular filter is causing a lot of discards. Things like that are available now through mainframe networks. And the other interim feature on 4.10 that is now part of the 4.20 package is extensions of our OSA workspaces. We created new workspaces that are similar to the workspaces we already had for OSA, except these give you information about newer OSA adapters like the OSA Express 2 10 gigabit adapter and the newer OSA Express 3 adapters. So there's new situations and new workspaces that allow you to see what's going on with your newer OSA adapters and helps you tune them, make sure you have enough memory and so forth to make sure that you're not missing any of the data coming in and out of your ZOS system. Next slide, slide 21, gives you the availability and dependency information for 4.20. It will become generally available this Friday, July 17th. The minimum level of IBM Tivoli monitoring, ITM, that's required is version 6.2.1. I think interim fix 3. The APARs or PTFs listed here are once you upgrade to ITM 6.2.1 in order for the 4.20 mainframe networks agent to work correctly, you may need some of these APARs on some of the ITM components like the TEMPS or the configuration assistant. The minimum ZOS level is going to be ZOS 1.8, and we tolerate all the way up to ZOS 1.11 when that, I think that will become available this later this year. And these are some of the APARs needed for those various OSs to support, for mainframe networks to work correctly. If you have OSA Express and you're running on an IBM E server, Z-Series 900 or 800, your LIC needs to be version 3.33 or higher. If you're on a later Z-Series level, we support all of the versions. And if you're still running a communications controller, NCP, we need OmegaMon 2 for mainframe networks, supports NCP 7.8.1 or later. Okay, so at the end of this section, you now have all the highlights of what's new in version 4.20. I'm just going to provide more technical detail on the functions and features from this point on. I don't know if any of you need to drop off at this point or whatnot. You'll see some repetition between the slides that we've already shown and the slides I'm going to show coming up. So slide 21, we're up to the new features. And slide 23, slide 23 starts to list the new features again. We added one of the key new features for 4.2.0 is command support. We did that using take action commands in context out of workspaces, mainframe networks workspaces. We have a new command log workspace so that you can see results from those commands. You can see the results of the commands when you issue them, but if you need to go back at a later time and see those results, you can go to that new workspace and see that. Then self-diagnosis, we have a new workspace that has three new attribute tables that basically show you the status of the monitoring agent itself and lets you do some quick troubleshooting on the agent configuration. We added some new attributes. Enhanced our TN3270 workspace. We basically rearranged some of that because starting with mainframe networks 4.2.0, we support version 1.8 of ZOS or later, so it made more sense to rearrange the workspaces. You now have Tivoli Common Reporting reports out of the box. You have integration with event management out of the box, and we support new OmegaMon functions. So slide 24, we give you some more details about the common, the command support. This shows you what the drop-down menu looks like. In the workspaces, and you can choose drop connection or ping, and it is available from the connections workspace, the TCP connections workspace, UDP endpoints, and TCP listeners workspace. If you right-click a row in one of those workspaces, information from that row is picked up into the dialogue that is presented to you, so the dialogue will be pre-filled with some of the information from the row in the table, and the response to the command is shown in the dialogue as it becomes available. And this is what the dialogue looks like for ping on slide 25. And you can see the output from the ping right in the dialog. And when you're done, you can just click cancel on the dialog. This is what the drop dialog on slide 26. You can see what the drop dialog looks like. So you basically identify the connection via a connection number, which is available. That is pre-populated from the row. So like if you're in the connections workspace or one of the connections workspace, the connection number is picked up straight from the row that you select, you right-clicked on, and you click the OK button, and the connection you selected will be dropped. And you have to have administrator authorization to do this, and you also, the TEP user that selects to do this, has to be authorized to do the drop command through your SAS product on the host. So not anybody, any TEP user cannot do a drop command. Before you can successfully do a drop command, you have to have been authorized through the SAF product on the host. Next slide shows you what the command log workspace looks like. This is accessible through the navigation tree by clicking on the agent node for mainframe networks on the navigation tree. And up here on the top right, you can see commands that have been issued. In this case, 3 ping commands were issued. If you select one of those, you can then click the link, and it will automatically show you on the bottom when it refreshes the command log workspace. The bottom view will show you the responses that came back for the particular ping command that you selected. Next slide, slide 28, talks about the new self-diagnosis workspace for the agent. Again, that workspace is accessible. You can see on the diagram, you can barely see diagram on the right, the picture on the right, bottom right, the little blue line. So you can access this workspace, the agent status workspace, from the, again, the mainframe networks node on the navigation tree. It is the default workspace when you click on that. And it shows you information about the agent itself, like what was the started proc name for the agent, when the time that the agent was started. It tells you whether a TCP IP collection is started, whether SNA collection is started or not, what collection options you specified. A critical piece of information that this workspace shows you is what was the SNMP configuration data set that you provided during the configuration step for the agent, where the agent is supposed to get configuration information that it uses to communicate with the SNMP agent on the ZOS communication server. It provides you the name of that data set. So if somehow you're not properly collecting SNMP information, you can look at the information on this workspace and verify using that information whether the agent was configured correctly for SNMP collection or not. And on the left here, the diagram on the left just says, that's a screenshot of the configuration tool. You configure mainframe networks during your install and config phase. At runtime, when you're running mainframe networks, if something's not quite working correctly, you don't think you're seeing the right data, or you're seeing some odd error messages in the log, you can come and look at the agent status workspace and kind of quickly verify whether the configuration information for the agent looks correct and whether the correct collection options the collection options look correct, and do some troubleshooting from that workspace. It also lets you see if you've issued any modify commands during runtime and changed anything during runtime. You can see what is currently in effect at the moment from this workspace. Next slide, slide 29, shows that you could potentially use this new workspace to define a situation and do some integration with a service desk or some sort of business management view that you might have. You can basically see if the SNMP configuration data set information is blank in that workspace. You could do some event automation and flag that as a problem and have your service desk guy contact your IT guy and point out to them that there's an issue with mainframe networks that needs to be corrected. Slide 30 shows what the agent status workspace looks like, and the top view gives you information about the agent. Again, information like what the startup proc name is, when it was started, what user ID the agent is running as, what group ID, and off to the right, there's additional information. It tells you what collection, what collectors are started, excuse me. The next view in the middle shows you what your current SNA collection status is for the agent. And at the bottom view shows you TCP collector status. So this is both the SNA and TCP collector status show you what collection options you have enabled for those, as well as some status information that's pertinent to those collectors. The next slide, slide 31, shows you what columns are off to the right on the same workspace. So it's just trying to show you a screenshot of the columns that are on the right for that workspace. Slide 32 lists all of the attributes that are on the workspace so that you can decide whether they're interesting to you or not at your leisure. And slide 33, this lists all of the new attributes that were added to various mainframe networks workspaces that had been in the requirements databases, our requirements database that came in through customers. So some of the key ones are total backlog connections rejected, smooth round-trip time for high-performance writing connections, percent of extended CSAs that's in use, various storage utilization metrics for the CSM buffer pool were added for customer request. The default TN32 on slide 34, we talk about the default TN3270 workspace being changed. Again, the main motivator for that is the fact that starting with 4.2.0, the lowest level of ZOS that we support is 1.8, and so the default workspace for TN3270 is now server session availability, which makes more sense with that level of VOS. It provides you more useful information given that you're on ZOS 1.8 or later. Let's see. So the workspace that was previously the default is still available. It's just selectable as a secondary workspace. So if you prefer that workspace for some reason, you can always customize things so that that becomes your default. On slide 35, we talk about Tivoli Common reporting. Again, we provide several reports that allow you to see TCP/IP trend analysis to help you figure out things like, should you be adding more OSA adapters? Do you need to, make changes in how much memory is available in different buffer pools, things like that, based on statistics that mainframe networks collect. So these reports are now out of the box, and you can, instead of having to go down to OPAL to download them, you just get them as part of your 420 package. We've already been through the common Omegamon functions. I just left them in here for completeness, so I'm not going to talk about them again. Slide 36, slide 37. Again, we have already talked about the improved integration with Omnibus and Tech. We now provide the files out of the box that are needed for events to be forwarded out to Omnibus and Tech and improve our ability to integrate with the Tivoli-wide business management. Slide 38. Slide 38 shows a more detailed view. So this is what an event would look like in the Omnibus console. If an event, instead of the TEP, if you have Omnibus, you can now look at mainframe networks events on an Omnibus console. And this is the same thing. You can now look at mainframe networks events on a TEC console, and this is what it would look like. Slide 40, we're going to talk more about install and config enhancements. So slide 41, we saw earlier, and I explained earlier, the main thrust of this is that it used to be prior to this release and all of the Omegamon platform enhancements that customers would have to reconfigure a lot of things as part of upgrading, and we've tried to reduce that. So we went from, having a huge effort to do an upgrade to just a couple hours. On slide 42, we've already gone through this slide earlier, so I'm not going to go through it. We implemented a variety of install and config enhancements to improve, the time it takes for customers to get value out of the product. Customers can now install and configure mainframe networks a lot more quickly. And the last one, we already went through the ASID reuse. We exploit that so customers won't run out of ASIDs as quickly, and they also don't have to IPL to reclaim them. And the next slide, set of slides, discusses the publication changes. We already discussed the common consolidation of the publications, so we reduced the text in the product-related publications. Hopefully this will help customers. And the next slide, slide 46, are some of the mainframe network-specific enhancements in the publications. We consolidated Omegamon 2 into the Omegamon XE configuration information. And We also improved the troubleshooting guide. We took a bunch of tech notes and incorporated them into our troubleshooting guide, hopefully providing customers better information on how to troubleshoot mainframe network problems. Then the 410IF, again, I mentioned IP security. We're running out of time, so I'm not going to go into these. I already mentioned we have the ability to manage IP security filters and dynamic tunnels and manual tunnels. The slide 48 tries to give you a quickie education on what IP security is. Basically, there are filters defined on the host, and data is either dropped or accepted or routed out based on these filters, and the mainframe network support on slide 43 allows you to see what is going on with filters and tunnels. And, you know, the next few slides show you, you know, the workspaces on page 50. Those are the new workspaces that we provided, new situations related to IP security. And in Fixed Pack 2, the big thing was OSA Express enhancements. And we couldn't fix everything with IPsec in its initial release, so we fixed some additional things, improved serviceability with more granular tracing, added a PU name that customers had asked for in our EE connections information, and added currency support for ZOS 110. And the OSA Express slides 53, 54 show you, new workspaces and new attributes, new situations added for OSA Express, and we rolled up a lot of maintenance into 420, and slide 55 shows you all that maintenance, and slides 56 and slide 56 and 57 and 58 show you contacts and references. And the backup slides, I need to make a comment about the backup slides. We provide sensitive performance information on slides 62, 63, 64, 65. That is confidential information that should not be shared with customers unless they are looking for specific performance information about the product. So it's for your use. It's to help you. So use it to educate yourselves, but please don't share it with customers unless there is an absolute need to share it with customers. So that is it. I'm sorry that, you know, it's I'm at the end here, so do you have any questions?
At this time, we'll start the question and answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star then 1. To withdraw your request, press star 2. But again, to ask a question now, please press star then 1. One moment, please. One moment. At this time, I actually have no questions.
So this is Matt Holloway. What I would recommend is that do take a look at slide 57. If you have any questions at any point, please feel free to contact the folks that are on that list or OVs directly, because we want to make sure that we've given you the information that you need to effectively help our customers enjoy this product.
And I still have no questions on audio.
then that's probably a wrap.
Thank you, everyone, for participating in today's conference call. As you heard, you may disconnect now at this time.